everyone. Welcome back to the Big Move Podcast. I'm your host, Em, and I'm very excited to share today's guest, Lovey Ajayi Jones.
And each time that I have dared to look on the other side of fear, I've won. I've won abundantly, and it's always shocked my system in the best way. And that's what I want for everybody.
So Lovey's been dubbed a professional troublemaker, which she's going to explain exactly what that is in the episode. But she is also an award-winning author, speaker, and podcast host. Honestly, I just felt like Lovey's energy in this episode was infectious. She gets deep into the topic of fear and also leaves us with tangible tips on how to get to the other side of our fear and go after what we want in our jobs, our personal lives, our careers. She's also going to talk to us about her new book launch, The Fear Fighter Manual, which honestly, I plowed through so fast. We're going to be giving away a copy to a listener, so stay tuned more on there. And let's get into our chat with Lovey. Lovey, hi. Welcome to the Big Move Podcast.
Hi, Emily. Thank you for having me.
We're so excited to have you today. We're just going to dive right into things. So where in the world are you talking with us from today?
I am in Chicago.
Chicago, yes. I have some Chicago love for you. My husband is actually from there. And I always feel like I eat very well when I'm in Chicago. I have to ask, are you a fan of deep dish?
Deep dish is overwhelming, but I still love Giordano's pizza. I never order deep dish though. Like it's too much.
You know what? I feel that. It can be a little overwhelming to people. So Lovey, can you give our audience just a brief background on who you are?
Yes, I am Lovey Ajayi Jones, and I am a writer, a speaker, a podcast host, a lover of rice, a professional troublemaker, and a longtime blogger. I've been blogging for 16 years.
So Lovey, on this podcast, I love to hone in on our guests' quote, big moves. So whether it's moving to a new city or a country or launching the brand, the business, the blog, you've obviously done so many of these things. But can you talk us through the moment when you decided to leave your more traditional job path to becoming a full-time writer?
I don't think I necessarily decided it. I think it was decided for me. I started blogging in college, the same semester where I got a D in Chemistry 101, because I thought I was going to be a doctor. That was the dream from when I was little. Chemistry taught me, no, you don't want to be a doctor. You don't even like hospitals. So quitting that dream that semester, I didn't realize I was starting a new one with the writing. So blogging through my undergrad years was all about, you know, roommate beefs and exams I wasn't studying for, the D I was getting. I kept that blog throughout college, deleted it in 2006 when I graduated and started awesomelylovey.com, which I still have today. And I worked full-time as a marketing coordinator for a nonprofit, and I'd come home and blog and write about the world as I saw it. You know, I'd write about TV, film, race, politics, feminism, randomness, complete randomness sometimes. You know, and I would just write because I loved doing it. And more people started reading my blog. More people than I knew started reading my blog. And people started being like, oh my goodness, you're the person who's saying what we were thinking but dared not to say. And they would share my work. So my blog just organically grew. I started winning awards for it. In 2010, I got laid off my full-time job as a marketing coordinator. And it was a gift because really, writing was what I should have been focusing on and working for myself and being a social, a digital strategist, which is what I was doing for my full-time job, but clearly I need to do it and expand my horizons. It was a gift because it was basically like the universe pushing me to take a leap of faith that I wasn't going to take myself. And I think even when I got laid off, I wasn't like, okay, now I'm going to pivot to writing. I still looked for other jobs. I still try to find ways to make more money because I was like, working for myself, that's not even possible. I'll just go on LinkedIn and be searching for these jobs so I can have a 401k again. And I think it was like I wasn't paying attention, because had I been paying attention, I would have noticed that my purpose was to use my words to make people think critically, make them feel joy, and compel them to take action that will leave this world better than they found it. So I think after a year or two of looking for a job, I finally had to say, hey, you're a writer. You already have your job. Focus on that. This is your gift. This is what you're supposed to be doing. Do that thing. Because I think when I finally did that, everything fell into place in terms of what I was afraid of. Because I think I was afraid of working for myself, because that doesn't come with a lot of blueprints. This was before YouTube became so big that everybody had strategy videos and you could be taking online classes left and right. I was afraid of what the title of writer meant, because it felt so big, right? Like, I didn't want to make that big move to call myself a writer, because I thought of writers as like Toni Morrison and Maya Angelou. And I was like, those are writers. I'm just somebody who blogs. I was afraid of the fact that if I called myself a writer, I could fail. And yeah, I was just afraid of the uncertainty of it all. The fact that, you know, being a writer is not being an accountant. You don't just go to school and then you get that accountant job and all will be well. You'll work there. Writing, kind of have to charge your own path forward. So I think all of my fears there kind of kept me at bay for a bit. But when I finally was like, you're out of excuses, you are a writer, all those things got moved to the side. And I basically stood in that fear and I called myself this big title, and the universe and God were like, we've been waiting for you. Welcome.
I love that. And I think what I also love about what you just shared is that you had to take some serious time to sort of work through your fear, and that there wasn't this, you know, quote, light bulb moment for you.
Absolutely. And I think it's one of those things where pinpointing what the actual fear is. Like, the times when we are afraid of that big thing, we got to figure out what we're actually afraid of. Like, what is the underlying thing? And I know for me, a lot of that was the fear of failure. You know, failing as a writer would look like, who's going to read anything you're going to write that's outside the blog? Failing as a writer looks like not being able to pay my bills because all of a sudden I called myself a writer and this doesn't come with this path. So figuring that out, and then also the fear of success almost, because it's like, what if it does work, right? Like, what if this writing thing does work? How does your life look then? And I think all of that is necessary. And then there are times when you might run out of excuses. And when I found myself in rooms with journalists who were backed by multi-billion dollar entities, and I was there as Awesomely Lovey, I was like, your words got you in this room. So why would it not get you into other rooms? Why would you not be a writer? You are amongst other writers. So own it. And I think that's really what kind of made it click and say, you have no other choice but to call yourself this.
So Lovey, you have been dubbed a, quote, professional troublemaker. Can you share with the audience where this kind of came up and where the name came from?
Yes. A professional troublemaker is a truth teller, and that's something that I've been my whole career as a writer. You know, because I started my blog in college when there was no real career as a blogger, I was able to write without pretense, and I was able to write truly honestly. And what that did was it gave me practice of speaking the truth out loud. And my blog ended up really being something that reflected other people's thoughts, and people saw me as a person who said the thing they were thinking but dared not to say. But that piece about being a professional troublemaker is not about being a contrarian. It's not about, you know, just throwing hate at people's feet. It's really about disrupting what's not going well for the greater good. It's about making sure the rooms that I am in are elevated. It's making sure that whatever table I sit at, I am proud of it. And oftentimes that does look like making trouble, because that does look like thoughtfully pointing out, hey, that idea might not go well. It does sometimes look like challenging systems and people who are bigger than me. And I think part of the reason why it's necessary that I've been this person, and part of the reason why people are drawn to my work, is that for them, they might be professional troublemakers, but they've never been given permission to be that. They might be truth tellers and people who would disrupt a room that's where things are not just, but they've been silenced, or they've been made to feel some type of way about being this person. and I show up as this person all the time, and I insist on being this person, whether or not people try to give me permission for it. So yeah, that's why I'm a professional troublemaker.
Makes sense. So I know you've already mentioned, you know, fear has become a huge topic and has come up a lot for you just in your career trajectory. But was there a moment when you kind of decided, you know, this is kind of going to be my purpose from a career standpoint and moving forward as a writer?
No, I don't think I even decide my moments. I feel like they're decided for me. I feel like they are things and breadcrumbs that I've put around my path. And then I go, oh my goodness, that's the thing that I've been really honing in on. For me, when I did my TED Talk in 2017, I didn't even know it was going to be around fear. I didn't even realize that was going to be the point of it. But I think as I started writing and talking about, because the talk is called Get Comfortable Being Uncomfortable, I talked about how fear really stops you from, it has a concrete power to stop you from pursuing your purpose. And I realized that even my journey is a testament of that. So who I've been, even when I was afraid to call myself a writer, when I was afraid of working for myself, fear, whenever it is the first thing that I am using to make my decisions, I lose. Whenever I say, you know what, I am afraid, but I'm going to do this thing that feels big anyway, I win. So I think for me, it is such an incredible jumping point to who I am. Is even being the professional troublemaker, it doesn't mean I'm not afraid of people disagreeing with me or people not liking what I say. It means that I find that the fear should not stop me from doing it.
Absolutely. And your TED Talk has garnered like 5.5 million views. It's obviously done incredibly well. And you mentioned this in your book, and I would love to touch on this, how you almost totally skipped out on your TED Talk journey.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I was asked to do the TED Talk and I turned it down twice because I didn't think I was ready. I was afraid of going on that stage and bombing. I was afraid of not being prepared and not having the time to prepare, because I also had a really busy year. 2017 was right after my first book came out. My book hitting the New York Times bestselling list instantly changed my career. I was on the road even more than I was before, and I was already on the road a lot. So when I was asked to do it, yeah, I turned it down. I was like, I don't have time for this. I don't want to get up there and not kill. But I wasn't allowed to say no. Even in my fear, I let the fear let me say no. But the people around me loaned me courage and said, nope, 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 you have to do this. And when I got on that stage and did that talk, that was a brand new talk. I did that talk with 3 weeks in advance. So Even the journey to the TED Talk was full of fear, where I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe I am just memorizing this talk the night before I'm about to do it. But then I gave the talk and it looked like I had given it 1,000 times. For me, it was more proof that like I really cannot operate using fear as my first factor.
And so I think something that I noticed right away about you as a writer too, and just reading your recent book, is your personality, it jumps off the page. Like you can, you know, like you're obviously here having a conversation with me right now, but as I'm reading your book, I can kind of like feel you in the room. I'm curious, like, do you think that there are certain things that make a standout writer or make someone, you know, get on the best-selling list? Is it that personality factor, or are there other things you think?
Yeah, I think some of the best compliment that somebody can give me outside of like, oh my gosh, your book changed my life, is I was reading it and I was hearing your voice. The reason why that's big is because whether people are hearing me on a podcast, reading my words, you know, reading or just see my work on social media, for them to hear my voice means I'm talking to them, not at them. You know, a lot of times my audience will say I am their best friend in their head. And for me, that is also an ultimate compliment, because it means you're receiving what I'm saying to you with the love that is intended. And with the familiarity that allows you to actually hear it and not feel attacked by it. So yeah, that's a big piece of my writing and a big piece of why I connect with so many people. I usually write as I'm speaking, or I write with the idea that this is how I would say it to you. It's like my stream of consciousness, but way more organized.
I love that. And so I'm curious, to kind of round out this section, do you have any tips for anyone at home, anyone listening who maybe is just not feeling fulfilled in their current job situation? Any tips on like how to figure out, you know, taking steps towards what might be next for them?
Yeah, I think figuring out what you love talking about, what you're really good at, and what you enjoy doing. And often when people even ask like, oh my God, how do you find your purpose? I'm always like, it's typically already there. And what we do as humans is we discount it. We will convince ourselves that thing is too easy. That can't be it. It's like why I said I wasn't a writer. I was like, ah, that's too easy. Mostly writers work really, 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 really hard and they get writer's block. Ah, I can't be a writer. But the thing that you want to do next, the thing that you want to do ultimately is probably right in front of you. But you spent a lot of time convincing yourself and other people that that couldn't be it because it's just too easy. And I think that's why we have to start acknowledging and not being afraid of our gifts. And our gifts are usually those things that are going to come easy that we didn't earn, because that's what a gift is, right? You don't necessarily have to earn it. But yeah, it's probably somewhere already around you. You already have the idea of what you want to do next, but it might scare you because you're like, it feels too big, or it feels too different, or it feels so unknown. And then you swallow it down and say, yeah, that can't be it. But what if that is it?
So Lovey, I know you have a very exciting book launch. I'd love to jump into this. So can you tell us about your latest title, The Fear Fighter Manual? What's the premise? What sparked you to release this book now?
Yes, The Fear Fighter Manual, Lessons from a Professional Troublemaker, is the best work that I've done yet. And it sparked me to release it now because in talking about the idea of fear and how it actually permeates our everyday lives and how it makes a difference in how we show up in the world, what we say yes to, I realized I wanted to write a book really focused on it because it's the book that I needed when I was afraid to call myself a writer. It's the book that I needed when I was asked to do the TED Talk and I was about to say no for the third time because I didn't think I was ready. I was afraid of what it meant. It's the book that I need and will need anytime I want to do something that feels bold or that feels like off the beaten path. And it's basically the written version of you got this. And I think it's important for us to tackle fear in order to be professional troublemakers, because in this world, we are going to be called and asked to elevate rooms that we're in, speak the truth. And all of that is going to be a constant fear fighting habit. So this is the book that I hope transforms people's lives because it makes them feel less alone about being afraid. And I hope it makes them feel equipped to handle what comes with it. So I tell my story. I talk about my grandmother, who was a professional troublemaker who I saw growing up. And I make this book and wrote this book to be a form of courage. For in the times when you are afraid, in the times when you're about to make a decision, using fear as your first factor. So that's why I want people to read it. That's why I think this book is going to change lives.
I love that. And so I'm curious, what can people expect from this title versus your last book, which is called I'm Judging You?
Yes, it was my first book is I'm Judging You, the Do Better Manual. And this is the Fear Fighter Manual. So in my first book, I'm telling us that we should be less terrible as human beings and we got to do better. In this book, I'm saying we should be expecting more of ourselves as humans and our lives will be better. So the Fear Fighter Manual is the how to the Do Better Manual's what. It's the big sister. It's the grown up version. It's the thing that now equips you with the tools that you'll need to do better, you know, to make sure that you are caring about your fellow humans, that you are actively putting motion and movement to making this world better than you found it. And a lot of that is going to come in moments when you're going to be afraid. And what I'm hoping is people choose courage whenever they feel fear. Because keep in mind, you cannot have courage without the fear first.
Makes so much sense. And I'm curious from your standpoint, like why for women in particular, like what are we so afraid of in our careers and our personal lives? Like where is that innate fear kind of coming from, do you think?
I think it is deeply organic. It's in all of us. Fear is supernatural. Supernatural in that we all have it. It is the most universal emotion. But I think people talk about fear as if you're somehow weak if you feel it. We talk about fearlessness, but I think fearlessness just means not letting fear make you do less. Half of the battle that we face in this world is feeling like we are by ourselves. But I think when we know that we're not alone, that it somehow doesn't make us weak or cowards because we're afraid, then we can do something about it. Then we can move towards it. So for me, I show up in the world as really bold and unafraid, but I am afraid. The difference is I just insist on charging forward regardless.
So often I think when we talk to successful and accomplished people like yourself, we tend to think that made it. And I love in this book that you outline and you're really honest with, like, you're still working on yourself and you're constantly still working on your fear. Can you just shed a little bit more light, I guess, around that idea for the audience?
Yeah, is that nobody is perfect. I think I'm always committed to being better and to growing because I think growth is important. So even as I am showing up and, you know, I have a visible platform, constantly growing insists that, like, is what makes sure that I am better than I was yesterday, than I was 2 years ago, than I was 3 years ago. I think the best people in the world are those who are committed to always just being better than they were. Like, I'm in competition with nobody but myself. I don't find anybody else to be in competition with me because, again, my best is my best. And any leader, anybody who's a leader should be somebody who's committed to constantly growing. And I think for me, I don't even position myself as an expert at anything because I think once I call myself an expert, it means I'm saying there's nothing more to learn. I am a guide. I am learning and growing. I am vulnerable with people just so they can see my journey. And to normalize the fact that being a leader does not mean being a perfect human. You will still be flawed. You will still have room to grow. And I think a lot of us are just learning out loud.
Makes so much sense. Do you have any like tangible tips or words of advice, action steps rather, that you would recommend we can start to implement in our day-to-day to tackle our fear?
Yeah, I think every moment that you have to make a decision is a moment that you can choose courage. It's not a big task in that I'm like, oh my gosh, be brave every day. No, be brave every moment that you can be, right? So the next time you are posed with the challenge of speaking up about something in a room that you're in, that is a moment where you can choose courage. Where you can choose, you can say, I am afraid, but this thing is necessary and I'm going to say it anyway. You know, it means not opting out of the best case scenario because you're afraid of a worst case scenario that might never come. It means, yeah, sometimes being vulnerable and saying, I am afraid right now, but you know what? I'm going to push through it anyway. So there's small things that you can do, which includes acknowledging your fear. Two, when you are faced with these moments, actively and intentionally running towards that thing that you're afraid of. So whether it's speaking up, doing something different, asking for the raise, doing that thing. And then three, doing it again. It's a habit. Truth telling is a muscle. Being a professional troublemaker is a muscle, but it's necessary. When we commit ourselves to it, I think the world will be better for it.
Totally. And it's kind of sitting in that discomfort, I guess, going back to your TED talk, like get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
So I'd love to just touch on community with you and kind of building your tribe, building your network and the people around you. Why has this been so integral to your journey, would you say?
Yeah, I'm surrounded by people who always loan me courage when I don't have it for myself. My community, the people who read my work and have read my work for over a decade, people who listen to my podcast or read my books. And then there are my friends and my family, and they are people who, one, they're the professional troublemakers for me. They're the ones who make sure that I am shown up in the best way possible. Before anybody else can tell me something, they've probably already told me. And then they're also like my soft place to land. So even if I do make a mistake, they got me. They got my back. They won't let me fall all the way. And I think having a community, a real community that shows up for you, it does allow you to be freer because you know you can make mistakes. You know in the growth process, growing pains are real. You know you don't have to be a perfect human being to be loved and to be accepted. So it gives you the wings to fly. And I think that's been, for me, really important. That support is important. And also being surrounded by people who are also constantly fighting their own fears normalizes it. It says you're supposed to be doing this thing that's scary. You're supposed to do this thing that's big because look at who did it and how it worked out for them. So I'm constantly around people who just affirm who I am, what I do, and who don't let me cower in fear.
I love that. And I think something that jumped out to me in your most recent book, you shared like everyone has a platform. You were kind of like, you don't need a million followers. Like everybody has a platform. You have, you know, that support system, those close people around you, the people you can lean on. So I thought that was kind of powerful to hear from your purview.
Yeah. I mean, we think about platforms as, oh my God, my Instagram following and my Facebook following and Twitter, but really our platforms are the people we can reach every day, our friends, our family, our colleagues. What are we using that platform and access for? If we're on social media all day banging drums about a particular issue, but we've never had this conversation with those closest to us, then what are we saying to these random strangers if we're not going to say it to the people in our actual circle? So people have to understand that impact does not mean you have to reach 45,000 people. Impact is one person, being able to change hearts and minds of one person, being able to make one person's life better. That's impact. So bring it back down to the personal. Impact is personal first before it's even professional. So if we can't talk to those we love, what are we saying on social?
Amen. I love that. So I have a few rapid fire questions that I fielded from our audience on Instagram. So we're just going to jump into those.
All right.
What is a top technique to overcome fear related to one's career specifically?
A top technique. One, understanding that when you are sitting at the table, your job is to be proud of what happens there. And if you have something that you want to challenge, that you're like, I'm not sure if I should say it, I ask myself three questions in those rooms and just in general. And if the answer is yes to all three, I say or do whatever that is. And the first question is, do I mean it? Am I saying this thing because I actually mean it, or is it because I just want to hear my voice or be a contrarian, right? Two, can I defend it? If I'm challenged on it or asked to prove what I'm saying or give my opinion some weight, can I actually stand in it? Can I defend it? Do I have receipts? And then three, can I say this thoughtfully? So how we say it also matters. I mean, we cannot just throw something at people's feet haphazardly. We have to try our best to say it thoughtfully. And this is not with the idea that you saying it thoughtfully means it will be super well received. It is just risk mitigation. So do I mean it? Can I defend it? Can I say it thoughtfully? If the answer is yes to all three, you got to say it and then deal with how the chips fall. It's a great thing to do in a room real quick. It's like a 3-second checklist. For me, I've gotten it down to about 3 seconds. So it lets me know whether whatever I need to say needs to actually be said by me.
Second rapid fire question for you. A piece of advice to someone maybe looking to change or pivot careers.
Always under promise and over deliver in whatever role that you're going to be in. It won't do you wrong.
Perfect. Third question. Who's the most influential person in your life?
I mean, I'll talk about the woman who I wrote this book, who's at the core of this book, who is my grandmother. And watching her as I grew up was significant because she taught me what it was like to be a woman who insisted on taking up all the space she was given without apology. And I think that really influences how I move now. like knowing that I don't owe anybody apology for my whole self, and how people handle it is not my business. So I would say my grandmother, Fumi Faloyin, who you'll meet in this book, in the Fear Fighter Manual.
So Lovey, I'd love to read one of my favorite excerpts from your most recent book. So you're talking about making that move in life. So you say, do all that shit or do none of that if that's what you're compelled to do. But that thing that you keep thinking about, but you keep stopping because you're afraid, do that thing. So I feel like as a last and final mm-hmm. question for the audience, like what is on the other side of our fear?
On the other side of your fear is life's greatest treasures for you. On the other side of whatever it is that's in your way is the true rewards. And I know that because that's the testament of my life. That's the testimony that I have. And each time that I have dared to look on the other side of fear, I've won. I've won abundantly. And it's always shocked my system in the best way. And that's what I want for everybody. That's what I want for everybody. And that's honestly what my mission is. I want to empower a million people to fight their fear. That's why I wrote this book.
You're such an inspiration. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast and talking with us today. Obviously, we know your book is, by the time this episode is out, the Fear Fighter Manual. But is there anything else you want to share with the audience? Like, what is next for you outside of this book release? Anything you want to leave us with?
No, this book is my focus. I think really getting people to understand this messaging, I just think it's going to transform the world for all of us to move with fear, but knowing that we must do these things or say these things that feel big. I think we will all win and we will all be better for it when we fight our fear. So that's my full focus right now.
So where can everyone follow you, find you, keep up with Lovey, all that jazz?
Yes, I am easy to find. I'm all over the interwebs at Lovey, L-U-V-V-I-E is my username on all platforms. And find me, join my community. We are committed to being these people, these fear fighters. So if you need a community, I got you.
Amazing. Also, guys, exciting. We are going to be giving away Lovey's latest title, The Fear Fighter Manual, to one listener. So this is open to the UK only. Look out for our post on social media this week at the Big Move Podcast account with details on how to enter on social media. And Lovey, thank you again for your time. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you guys so much for listening. If you found value from this episode, please share it with a friend. Tag us on Instagram at The Big Move Podcast. We always love to hear your feedback, and we will catch you on the next episode.